The Small World of Dominic Holland, starring Dominic Holland.
Thank you very much indeed, folks. Thank you very much for coming. I'd like to, if I could, dedicate this show tonight to a friend of mine. Unfortunately, got a very unusual medical disposition. He's severely claustrophobic and he's agoraphobic. He's got to live in a doorway. This is a stand-up show, folks, and a lot of you, you need to relax, you need to trust me. And I look out and a lot of you are still giving me the packed tube look. Tonight's show is actually going to be a very contentious show. It's going to ask some very hard-hitting and awkward questions. Questions like, when exactly do you wash a towel? It's difficult to know, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's not like pants every other day. A towel is like, shall I wash that? It's sopping wet. Well, it's supposed to be. It's a towel. You do, right? What do you use it for? I dried myself. Well, were you clean when you dried yourself? Yeah? Well, you get another month out of that. It'd be all right. How do you know when an onion's peeled? It's not easy to know, though, is it? It's not like a potato. You just peel it. That's obvious. An onion, you never know. I never know when to stop peeling those leaves. I mean, take the outer leaves off, clearly. They're the wrong colour and they're paper. But it's the inner leaves that are more tricky. You think, shall I peel that leaf? What do you reckon? It's a bit spongy, isn't it? I think I'll peel it. I think. Well, it's a bit thick, isn't it, this one? That's half the onion gone. How many people here have ever asked someone directions and not listened to what they've said? I could be really late in a real hurry. As soon as the guy opens his mouth, I've got something better to think about. Have you got that, mate? Thanks a lot. Cheers. How many people here can honestly say that they've got more than one dance? Or have you all done what I've done? Got to 15 and thought, this will do me for life, this. I've only got one dance, right? But I pretend to have two. I get found out when the record changes, because the record will be going, I'll be dancing away, okay? Then the record will die down. And I will sort of die down with the record. And I go into sort of non-dancing mode. And I wait for the new record to start, and I'll work out what my new dance is going to be. And then I'll decide that the old dance world... Lucky me! These things, folks, on tonight's show, I call them the foibles of life. They're the strange things in life that we do or are done to us, and we really don't know why we do them. And I think they mostly stem from the fact that we're all insecure. You know, all of us. Everyone here, everyone listening, we're insecure. I mean, for different reasons, clearly. Maybe you're a short person. Perhaps you're short. Perhaps you've got very thick, uncontrollable, curly hair. Maybe you have to wear glasses and your nose isn't big enough to support the weight of them. That's me covered, folks. And I feel a lot better now for having got that off my chest. So if we start with you, sir. I wouldn't do it to you. That's nice to meet you, sir. What's your name?
Edward.
Edward. Nice to meet you. Nice handshake, Edward. Can I say that? Very unthreatening. Obviously, got no problems with your sexuality at all, have you, Edward? I like that, because he just shook my hand normally. I hate those handshakes where a guy grabs your hand and closes his hand too early and just grabs my fingers. Because that just leaves me with my thumb. Because I'm insecure, I think. I hope you don't think that's all the squeeze I've got. Most insecurity comes from looks, though. We live in a very shallow world, right? Looks are the most important thing. They just get you through life. If you're good-looking, you just cruise through life. I mean, in here tonight, there'll be some good-looking people. You can feel the tension now, can't you? There'll be a few people going, thank you very much. Psychologists tell us, this is true, they tell us that people make up their minds about you in the first 20 seconds of meeting you. That can only be about your looks. How unfair is that? What about an interview situation? You've worked hard, this is your big break, right? And all that really matters, sadly, is what you look like.
So who's next?
Dominic Holland.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so look.
Well, good education.
Mm, very well qualified.
Seems to have all the relevant experience, that's good.
Yeah, that's, look at that, that's excellent references there.
Well, he seems to be, on paper, the best candidate we've had all day.
Yeah. Well, let's get him in. Would you show in Mr. Holland, please? Oh, my God.
They've actually now got application forms where they actually ask for your photo on the front cover. That can only be about your looks. They may as well go the whole way and have a looks section. Like, tick the following box, from beautiful to hideous. And you couldn't lie, could you? You've got to turn up. You'd be in the interview. So we come to the looks section. You've ticked box four. You happy with that? Because we've all had a chat. And we've got you down as box seven. I do strange things at home. Not bad. I do strange things at home. I actually don't know why I do them. I've got a toaster at home, and I'm not boasting, folks, okay? But it's an automatic. She's thinking, cool. And when the toast is ready, it pops up automatically. But before it pops up automatically, there's a compulsion within me to pop it up beforehand. To see if it's ready. I knew it wasn't ready. It would have popped up. I just think maybe it's early. I don't know. I pop it up and think, oh, it's not ready. I'll have to put it back down again. But then I think, if I put it back down now, will it reactivate the program? And it'll burn the toast. I know. I'll check it every 3 seconds. I could be hoovering, folks, at home. I'll be hoovering away, and suddenly I'll go over a bit of fluff that stays there. And that fluff is laying down a challenge to me. And I take up the challenge. What I do is I change direction. After a while, I've tried every single conceivable direction. Without moving furniture, of course, I'm a bloke. If it's still there, I just leave the hoover over. I can't believe it's still there. What I do then, I pick it up, and I try and establish why it wouldn't get hoovered. Now, the idea of hoovering is to get stuff off the floor. You think now that I'd picked it up, I would just put it in the bin. But that is to accept defeat. I put it back down again and try again. I do bizarre things at home. I could be rewinding a tape, and it seems to be taking a really long time. Do you know what I do? I stop it to see how far it's got to go. That can't help, can it? Because you want to get through life looking as cool as you can, okay? You want to avoid questions you can't answer, and you want to hear nice things about yourself. And that is where we all use the word, huh. Huh is a word which we all understand. You use huh if you get asked a question you can't answer. Someone says, Dominic, what do you think about quantum theory? Huh? Buys you a bit of time, and you hope also that they might forget the question. You can also use huh if you get complimented, and you want to hear it again. Women do that a lot. I'll be out with my wife having a meal. I'll say, yeah, you look really nice tonight. Huh? Didn't you hear what I said? No, I didn't quite catch it, Dom. What was it? So I thought the food was good. No, you didn't. You said, I look good. Well, if you heard me the first time, why'd you ask me to repeat it? Huh? Like, if I'm at home and the phone rings, I never pick the phone up straight away. Because, no, if you pick the phone up straight away, you look quite sad. It looks like you've either got a really small flat or no friends. Let it ring 8 times, much more cool. Get to the phone out of breath. Sorry, it's Dominic. Sorry, you didn't get to the phone. I was in my library. Sorry about that. What about when someone's plaguing you? They're leaving messages for you and you know you've got to have to phone them back. Have you ever phoned someone hoping to get their answer phone?
Come on, be out. Please be out. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Hi, you've reached Pete. I can't take your call at the moment.
Thank God.
Maybe I'm on the loo or something, who knows? But if you leave a message after the beep, I'll call you straight back.
Pete, hi, Dom phoning. Sorry I've missed you, and sorry it's taken me so long to
Dom, it's Pete, I am in. I'm in.
I hate that. The thing is, with the foibles of life, it's actually quite a good thing as well, because in life, little inconsequential things can make you really happy. Just little things in the day can really brighten you up. I call them great moments in life. I'll give you some examples of them. Okay? You could be shopping in Tesco's and you're buying, say, bacon, anything with a sell-by date. And you're looking at the sell-by date and it says 28th of July. But you're suspicious. So you go down and to the back. And you put out 8th of August. Extra freshness for me. Even if I'm going to eat it all that day, I still buy the freshest stuff. A great moment in life is when you're stripping wood chip wallpaper, okay? It's the hardest stuff to strip in the world, okay? This stuff's been painted on year after year with varnish, right? And you're stripping it and you get little bits, little tiny bits, really disheartening. It's really hurting your hand. And suddenly, out of the blue, a great moment in life happens. You get a really long bit. You think, look at the length of that bit. I'm going to frame this bit and hang it back up on the wall. You can get great moments from such little things. You can be driving down a motorway, you can be really bored, and you can just check your mileometer, and it might say 99,994. You think, oh, yes. Never mind, in 6 miles' time, my car's worth about a fiver. I'm not thinking about that at all. I'm just thinking, I can't wait for all those knots. I'm going to see them all change at once. It's really annoying. You look back down 100,003. Shit, missed it. For a split second, could I reverse? What do you reckon? The greatest moment in my life, actually. The greatest moment in my stand-up life. I'll tell you, it's just a true story. I do a lot of warm-ups, and the one I did, the big one in my life, was the Brit Awards, which I didn't want to do. I was getting married, and this producer phoned me up and said, Dominic, would you like to come do the warm-up? And I said, not doing it, mate, not interested. How much? I'm backstage at Alexandra Palace. It's 3,000 people. Okay, which I don't mind doing big gigs, but you know, it was the actual makeup of the audience. They're all rock stars. John Bon Jovi was there, Meatloaf was there, Bob Dylan was there, Sting, Rod Stewart. And that's not the sort of audience you want to die in front of. Okay? And I'm backstage, and I am absolutely terrified. I am terrified. I'm just so nervous. And the producer's about to push me on stage, right? And I was suddenly aware of this person who'd come up and stood next to me. And I thought odd shoes. I remember thinking odd shoes. And I looked up, and it was Elton John. Right. He was stood just next to me. I was a bit surprised to stand next to Elton John. But what was really odd was that he looked more scared than I did. Right? And he looked at me, I looked at him, and I actually said to him, you'll be fine. It's true. And what was even more strange, he actually then looked at me as if to say, do you reckon? That's one of my biggest regrets, though, not learning to play an instrument. I really wish I could, because, let's face it, you haven't got to be fantastic to make a go of it. I mean, look at Status Quo, Francis Rossi.
Okay, children. That is the second basic chord that you will need. So, if you could all try that for me. Good. Not bad. Not bad at all for a first effort. Francis Rossi, where are you going? Sit down, dear. We've only done two chords.
Mind you, though, it must be actually quite difficult at the opposite end. I mean, because I always think music teachers could get jealous. I think it must be quite hard for a music teacher to teach one of these young maestros.
So, young Mr. Mozart, last week I showed you the scales, and I asked you to practice them. Have you practiced? No, probably not. I expect you found it too boring. But let me tell you, young man, it might seem boring, but without them, I do not expect to reach any kind of proficiency with this wonderful instrument. So, young Mozart, let's see if I am not wrong.
Thank you.
a strange thing, folks, right? Our legal system is the oldest system in the world, but it's a bit bizarre. Because when the Americans have, like, a big trial, right, it's shown throughout the world on telly. Live on telly, right? You can watch it, like OJ's trial, you can all watch it on telly. But in Britain, when we have a massive case, like the last one perhaps was Rose West, a huge big case, even though we all knew what Rose West looked like, we've seen pictures in the newspapers, in the magazines, when they're in court, all we can have is a really good drawing. This is the age of satellite communication. And we're still drawing people. Imagine an American covering the trial, going to court with a big camera. Excuse me, take the camera off, please. Now, thank you. There's a box of crayons in the corner. And America, whether you love them or hate them, I think America is a fantastic country, but the culture is all pervasive. London now, it's American culture. You've got McDonald's, Burger King, TGI Fridays restaurant in London. You can't miss that one. Thank God it's Friday, American restaurant. I'm actually thinking of opening an English restaurant called, Oh Sod It, It's Monday. It's going to be an English restaurant based on English products, right? So, like, you order a Coke in an American restaurant, you get, like, a glass of ice, a pipette, two drops, £4. Sorry, any chance with English Coke? Yeah, warm with the wasp in. You can't move. I mean, people actually take up Americanisms as well. People, when they try and be cool in London now, you hear it at a bar. I could be at a bar tonight. I'm a very understated sort of bloke. I'll be at the bar, say, excuse me, mate, I'll have a pint of lager, please. That's how I order a drink. But you get chic people. People think they're cool. They don't do that. And they get to the pint, they get to the bar. Hi, mate. Yeah, could I get a lager? I hate that. Could I get a lager? I'd love a barman to go, no. No, you can have one, but I'll have to get it for you. If you want to get one yourself, mate, you'll have to get a job here. But the thing is, though, Americans, everyone says, are we like America? Is America like us? We are so different from America. I was in America about 3 weeks ago, and I watched an English football match in America. You can't believe the commentary, folks.
Welcome, if you've just joined me, to this knockout cup soccer match. The goalie has the ball in his hands, and he kicks it upfield high, high, high into the air, and the ball is now coming down, and oh, my God, would you believe it? The ball has hit a player straight on the head. How unlucky can you get, man?
Geez, that was amazing, Bob. He looks to be okay. In fact, the players are kind of playing on there as if nothing's happened.
You know, Brad, the strangest thing about that, he looked like he wanted that ball to hit him on the head.
He did actually jump up to reach the ball.
He sure looked like he did. Wow, and that's got us smart. And we should remind the folks at home that these players are not wearing helmets.
I mean, you can't miss American culture. They've got, like, CNN. Now, the BBC broadcasts to Britain, okay? CNN, this is hilarious. The funniest thing on telly, this is. Never mind comedy, this is the funniest thing on telly. Watch CNN, because they broadcast to the world. To the whole world simultaneously. And because of that, they have world weather forecasts, right? They have this poor bloke. And they give him a map of the world. And he's got a pointer. And he's just like, Africa. That's just generally warm. And we're obsessed by weather in this country. Okay, this is the strange thing. In Britain, every winter time, we'll get a cold snap. And that actually becomes a news story. And I always think that the news should tell you stuff that you wouldn't have known if you hadn't watched it. But if it's cold, you tend to know about it on the basis that you're alive. I mean, how many people here go home during a cold start going, God, there's a strange sensation all over my body. What can it be? Put the news on. And the headlines, it's freezing. Oh, there you go. I'm wearing flip-flops. What a prat. We're told in life, though, as we grow up, okay, we're told in life that you should never lie. Always be honest. Our parents told us that, our teachers. And we quickly realise, though, folks, that you have to lie. If you don't lie in life, you're going nowhere. Because how many people here can honestly say that they do a job that they'd love to do. If you won the lottery, would you go back to the job you're currently doing? Probably not. And that situation means you've got to go for a job interview whereby you have to lie.
Hello there, do come in. Take a seat, please.
Thank you.
Right, well, let me start off by asking you, why do you want this job?
Why do I want the job?
That's right.
Well, to be honest, I need the money. I mean, I don't actually want the job. It's more need, you know? I've got certain outgoings, so I need a job.
Well, that is remarkably candid of you.
Yeah, well, I could have lied. You know, I could have said that since I was 6 months old, I've always wanted to sell pensions.
All right. Well, what special qualities do you think that you'll bring to the job?
Honesty?
Yes, I can see that.
And enthusiasm.
Well, that's good. Enthusiasm is good. It's one of the qualities that we're actually looking for.
For the first month.
Sorry?
Enthusiasm. I'll be enthusiastic for the first month or so, you know. Then it'll tail off. Always does. You know, it's like, you know, you get the honeymoon period when everything's new and exciting, and then it becomes just old and mundane. Pretty soon after that, I'll start thinking that me boss is crap and wonder how he got the job in the first place.
Right. Well, look, do you have any questions you'd like to ask me?
Yes. How many sick days do we get a year?
There are lots of things I see that I think are a bit bizarre, though, like inventions and stuff. I've seen a portable Discman. Now, by name portable, you carry it around on your body. Right? I have seen one with a remote control. I mean, how tall are you? Where would you put that on your body that you can't reach? You put it on your belt, wouldn't you? Now, if you look at me, my hand is quite a very handily placed. How stupid would you look on the train? You want to turn it down instead of using your thumb. You think, oh, no. Bounce off a window. Anyway, I bought one. I can't use it. The only time I can use it, if I'm on the train and someone else got the exact same stereo on, just turn theirs off. People argue, couples argue at home about when certain products are finished. Like a tube of toothpaste, difficult to know when it's finished. Depends how strong you are. How much perseverance you've got. My wife will say, Dom, there's no more toothpaste. I say, yeah, there is. That end bit. You get another week out of that. Just got to use your thumbs, haven't you? Until you get to the very end, because then you need some help. When I squeeze this bit out, you get ready with a brush. This bit will go back in afterwards. This bit's like a tortoise. This is cutting edge material, isn't it? The thing you see, there's a cliche in life that you can't miss what you've never had. And that is true. That's why I don't mind climbing a set of stairs, but I do not like climbing a broken escalator because I know it should be moving. I did a gig in Newport at this big posh hotel for a company. And it was an amazing hotel. And as I got towards this escalator, okay, it was broken. And I was thinking, that's a bit iffy, isn't it? It should be working, really. But as I got towards it, it started. And I thought, oh, yes. It was an automatic escalator. And I think, wouldn't it be great? As well as being people-sensitive, it was actually fit-sensitive. So if you're a bit out of shape, you got to the escalator, and it went, I think you should walk up. And if you're really out of shape, it lets you walk up, then it starts working against you. Turns into a huge stairmaster. Like, you know, I think we should be able to admit we enjoy certain things. Like the travelator at the airport is fun, isn't it? If you're honest about it. Especially those old ones with the rubber ones, a bit of give in them. I love them because they're bouncy. Ooh. And because they're moving with such little effort, you can get up to speed to seem superhuman. You're not walking down there, you're flying down there. I think I'm so fit, I'm an athlete. I love that. You overtake people who are walking next to the travelator. Boom! Aren't they amazing? People who see the travelator and think, no, I'll walk. Even stranger are the people who go on the travelator and don't walk on it. They just stand there. Because they go slower than the people walking next to them. It's like they've been dragged to the plane. They must hate flying. people say unhelpful things to you, if you actually analyse what people say to you, you could be at a station, you could be late for a train. Say, excuse us, guard. Hi, guard. Next train for Edinburgh, please. Edinburgh, mate. Edinburgh. You've just missed one. What is the point of telling you that you've just missed a train? I mean, all he's done there is annoyed you. Oh, thanks a lot, mate. Thanks for that. Cheers. How fast are you going? Is it worth chasing? What do you reckon? I saw an amazing sign. Ealing Broadway Station, right? On the platform. It's got a true... This is true. On the platform. Please, no loitering. You're supposed to do jog. You get bizarre things in the world. I mean, on the train, you get no smoking now, which I think we agree is a good thing. But the bizarre thing is... No smoking on the tube, minimum fine, £200. And having a minimum fine is a bit odd because it implies a scale. And I thought, well, if you get caught, you get fined. How can there be a scale? And I thought about it. I thought, I know. Silk cut. £200, right? Benson Hedges, £250. And if you get caught smoking dope, they make you a driver. But that's a strange thing as well. When we were kids at school growing up, a lot of lads here, when they were about sort of 7 or 8, wanted to be a train driver. Right? But it's fascinating, because at what age did you realise that that's a crap job? I mean, clearly they didn't all realise. Some of them actually wanted to be qualified and go, is this it? And that is fascinating. We've got different jobs here, right? And what is interesting is that everyone's job, you can all think of someone who's going to get sacked. Or is going to leave because they can't cut it, okay? You get with doctors, you get a doctor who takes out the wrong kidney. And I reckon that must be the same in every single job. Like, if we're in London, you must get crap tube drivers. It must happen. Do you think they ever get lost? One wrong turn going, oh, no. I don't recognise any of this. All these tubes look the same, don't they? He's hours late. Sees the lights of a station ahead of him. Come on, Piccadilly, come on. He gets in there, oh no, Shepherd's Bush. I'm on the wrong line. He's backing up, trying to see the map.
The Small World of Dominic Holland was written and performed by Dominic Holland, with Sally Grace, Simon Greenell and Dave Lamb. Music was by Jim Howard, and the producer was Maria Esposito.